Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where two old guys, one still rather young lady, and a man visually is a 10, but keeps it energy-wise at a 6. Talk about old games. This week, we will be talking about Dorkly's 7th? 5th? Shit. 5th ranked game, Majora's Mask. But first, before I give introductions, before we get this whole thing on the road, it has come to my attention that there are quite a few fans of this show who want me to finish all of the Trials by Fire of Reddit. With tweets and Facebook messages and texts and calls, and they really want me to read the last Trial by Fire. And I'm going to do that. Everybody rallied so hard, made a hashtag for it, all that kind of stuff. So I have poured myself some pure grain alcohol and tea together, and I have it open here in front of me. So I'm going to be reading, all right, the Trial by Fire that is Colby. But okay, let me go ahead and say something first. It's cinematic, and like, if you've seen a movie that is somehow like about quests, and all the other quests are kind of like generic or the same thing, or they're something physical, and then like the last task or last quest is something completely off the wall and different and challenges a person's soul, or they took the challenge when they were little and didn't realize it, just something off the wall. Like, all these other Trials by Fire have been like some sort of like gross, but in like a funny way. Colby is, it's the different trial. It's just hard.
So you're saying that the others will gross you out, this one will hurt your soul?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am saying that with complete sincerity. Complete sincerity. There's not even like, I mean, Blowfly Girl, like, it's so gross and outlandish, it's funny. Cumbox, a guy coming in a box, okay, that's pretty funny. Swamps of Dagobah is so gross, but it's written in a way that it's funny. Colby is just, it's just depressing. So I'm warning you, I'm going ahead, I'll edit it in now. So after we record, if you didn't ask me to read this, or if you in some way enjoy or love animals, or if you just don't want to be bummed out, skip to this time.
24 minutes, 46 seconds.
There we go. And I'll edit that in. I'm sure I said something in a much horrible audio quality compared to how we normally sound. I made the intro last time. Please skip ahead because this is gross. So I'm telling you, unless you asked for this, just skip ahead. Just seriously, skip ahead. Jacob, skip ahead. Don't do it. The others you made yourself listen to because you feel you need to, don't listen to this one, Jacob. This one, especially you, a sensitive soul of Jacob, it will hurt you, and I don't want to do that to you. Okay. Again, skip to this time.
24 minutes, 46 seconds.
And you'll get to our joyous, well, okay, our coverage of Majora's Mask. But first, here is the final and terrible Trial by Fire of Reddit, that is Colby. So this happened about 3 years ago on the Ask Reddit subreddit under the title, "I think my teenage son may have sodomized our dog. I'm not sure what to do. Help me, Reddit."
I'm going to try to not make eye contact with you for the time you're reading this.
That'd probably be good. Yeah. Or just make I think with Nicole and don't look away so that you don't lose each other in the ether. So I'm not sure how to start here. The last couple of weeks, my dog, 7-year-old Lab, has been acting noticeably different. I guess I could describe it as distant, and even depressed. Start my stopwatch here, so I know what time. He is normally an extremely outgoing and happy dog, very playful and energetic, etc. But starting about 2 weeks ago, he started acting very withdrawn and nervous around people, even his own family. At first, I kind of brushed it off as feeling under the weather. But after that, after a week and a half, I decided he might need to see the vet. I got him in yesterday for an examination, and the vet told me he believes the dog was sodomized. His anus has slight damage in a way consistent with that sort of thing. He said he can't really imagine his injuries could have come out any other way. So already, I'm pretty upset and sort of freaking out. Who would do this sort of thing to my dog? I thought about the people who had access to my dog in my backyard. The gardeners crossed my mind, my neighbors. The only people that live in my house are my wife, myself, and our teenage son. I came home and thought about it for a while. I had this really ugly sinking feeling in my stomach with the possibility it could have been my son. I decided to look around in his room. I didn't really know what I was expecting to find, and I didn't know anything in there would have screamed guilty until I decided to check his browser history. I found he had been on a bestiality forum recently with a side of pictures of that sort of thing. I felt like I was going to throw up. Now, I know this isn't definitive proof or anything, but it sure doesn't look good. The more I think about it, the more I'm convinced my son sodomized our dog. I haven't told my wife or done anything about it yet. I have not left him alone with the dog since. I'm very confused and upset and don't know how to proceed with this. Reddit, please help. So here are the updates. Let y'all skim over because a lot of it is just rehashing. My son just got home. I'm going to have a conversation with him when I have a moment alone, and I'll get back to you guys and let you know what happened. I just spoke to my son. Before I get in our talk, let me say thank you, blah, blah. My wife, anyway, did our family dinner routine. My wife and I watched TV. My son was alone in his room after dinner like all teenagers are, and the dog obviously was with me. I waited for my wife to go to bed, which felt like forever because I was so nervous, but she finally did about an hour ago, and I went to the son's room to have a talk. I basically said, listen, I noticed the dog has been acting weird. I took him to the vet. I found out someone sodomized him. Any ideas about what happened? I looked at my son, who seemed ever so slightly nervous, but pretended to know nothing about it. I expected this, so I brought up the sites on his computer. Naturally, this made him upset and very indignant at the thought that I snooped around on his computer. Fair enough, I get it. But I got back to the point and tried to be understanding and as fatherly as I could and told him that whatever happened, I'm not going to judge him. He's not going to be punished. I just need to know the truth. After about 10 or 15 minutes, he breaks down and admits he used the handle of a hairbrush as well as his fingers into the dog a few times during the day last week. He said he wasn't trying to hurt him, but he stopped once the dog started to freak out. He said he didn't think it hurt that bad, but he was too embarrassed to tell us about it. I believed him in this, but he also did give a very satisfactory answer as to why he would do this in the first place. I have to admit, either way, I was glad on some level to hear he wasn't actually having sex with the dog. So basically, we agreed we wouldn't tell his mom, but that we had to find a reason that he needed to see a therapist. I told him I wouldn't tell his mother, but to think of this, but if he goes back on it, then I'll have to go back on my promise. As for now, the dog is staying with the family, and obviously I've made him swear up and down not to touch the dog like that again under the threat of severe consequence. It's too early to see if he feels remorse or is just humiliated. It's hard to say. It's very uncomfortable for both of us, especially my son. And he thanks everybody for everything. The dog has still been depressed, but he'll get back to everybody if the situation updates in a week. So, second long post. Well, this morning I caught my son in the backyard again holding onto Colby's genitals while playing tug-of-war with him. Granted, this isn't sodomy, and the dog seemed to be okay, but my son was basically grabbing and massaging the dog's privates as he held him in place under the guise of a tug-of-war game. Obviously, I stormed outside, grabbed him in anger, and had a very serious and very angry talk. He promised me to never treat the dog like that in any remotely inappropriate way after the incident. I put him in the room for the rest of the day. My wife is still at work, and I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. Therapy has not been working. So he asked Reddit for advice. They get back to him. And he decided he needed to tell his wife. Okay, well, that didn't go so well. My wife got home not too long ago after I put this up. I told her pretty much right off the bat I messed up badly, and I found out 2 months ago that our son admitted to me he had sodomized the dog with a hairbrush and his fingers. I told her why he was in therapy and that he wasn't comfortable with her knowing, and I made a fatherly promise under a condition that he never do anything like that again. Needless to say, she was pretty shocked and upset. Then I told her what I saw today, and she got more upset. It went from anger to tears. She's very pissed off about our son and Colby, and I feel like shit for having kept her in the dark. She told me she feels betrayed and has been calling me other choice names and saying she was very confused and grabbed her purse and left the house. I have no idea where she went. I didn't try to stop her. She's very upset. I feel like the worst husband and father in the world. I went to speak to my son, and he was pretty upset, and he said everything, that he could hear everything in his room. He isn't very happy about his mom finding out about the incident, and he doesn't think me telling her was necessary.
Hey, honey, why is our kid in therapy? Don't worry about it. Go to work.
Yeah, their marriage has... Okay, the only humorous thing about this story is just like the mother is just like really bad at handling this. And
the mother is? The mother. I mean, obviously, because like, well, I know we haven't gotten to her like part of the story yet, but so far I feel like the dad's like, all right, we're going to keep this a secret. Like my first move would be like, I'm going to need help dealing with this one because this is a big one.
I don't understand like why you would not tell your spouse about it. Yeah. Like tell your son you're not going to tell her and tell her anyway.
Maybe it's maybe she's a dog fucker.
When this
maybe
when this came out, I was still kind of new to Reddit.
Yeah.
But I got to the I remember getting to this point and was thinking like this not maybe not real.
This is what the internet is, yeah. Huh? Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah, I think this is the first. That's why I wanted to chime in. I feel like this is the first whiff of bullshit I'm getting off this story.
So basically,
dog shit.
My family was torn apart today over a dog. I need a beer or something. As a rehousing the dog, I think we'll have to do that. Let's see. He comments about it coming to the front page. He doesn't know what, you know, that makes him more nervous that apparently now this story is going viral. So he doesn't know what to do. His wife won't answer any of his phone calls until the third update. Okay, well, my wife called and said she's staying at her sister's for a night to clear her head. She's calmed down a bit, but doesn't think she can handle this at all tonight. I said I understand and apologized again for not telling her sooner. I tried to explain what another Redditor mentioned about the first incident about a weird male adolescent thing, and that he was probably embarrassed and just wanted to confide in me and trust me. She was pretty unmoved by the argument. Told me I was wrong. We got off the phone. We did say I love you, and she just hung up. This is probably the worst day of my life. As for my son, I've seen no sign of him since he made a Hot Pocket. It's a weird detail. However, 40 minutes ago, I started hearing him listening to dubstep from his room.
And fucking a Hot Pocket. I'm waiting for that like Hot Pocket to come back into play.
What, 40 minutes? So he had to wait for like... the Hot Pocket to cool down.
Yeah, yeah. If you overheat a Hot Pocket, that is the minimum time it takes.
Colby came out wearing a Hot Pocket like a cock sock.
Okay, so the third post mentions more about his wife staying at his sister's house. Tried to find a new home for Colby. To make a long story short, we did not resolve anything and have only become more and more embittered toward each other. This, along with a few other marital issues, finally led my wife to asking for a trial separation. My son has decided to live with her, so that I've moved to a friend's house temporarily while I try to figure out what we're going to do next. I know you guys are probably going to be pissed about this, but Colby is living with my wife and son. I tried to take him with me, and that only led to more friction and infuriating jabs from my wife. Why? So you can sodomize him again and blame it on our son, you sick fuck, etc., etc. The whole thing has just become a complete nightmare. I tried to confront my son about denying what he did to his mom, and he won't even talk to me about it. He just starts taking the stance that I'm crazy. I guess he thought he saw a way out of this and decided to take it by throwing his dad under the bus. That's probably the most hurtful part of this whole ordeal. I'm having my wife be a complete bitch to me at this point, but the betrayal of my son is what is really a knife to my heart. That being said, I have to remind himself that he's a kid in an awkward situation, but trying not to hold it against him. After all, if my wife and I wind up divorcing on the road, he is going to be the only thing that I love, so I'm trying not to do an irreparable damage to our relationship. I feel like I've done enough damage to this family. All over a Labrador.
That's an intimate detail we probably could have gotten from the beginning. I've been having a really hard time imagining all these scenes.
I wish I could say the prior to my time was still on Colby safely, but I've been lying. My relationship with my family is in tatters, and I don't know what to do. I would like to see Colby rehomed, but I feel like I need to focus on fixing my relationship with my wife and my son so life can go back to normal. TLDR, wife separated from me, took the dog, feel like I'm losing control of it all, and my son denied sexually abusing a dog and blamed it on me. The last post, which was 2 years ago. This whole saga has taken 1 year of updates to conclude.
All right.
Go through all these updates. Since the last time I updated, I've been living at a friend's house. My wife and son and Colby stayed at the family house. My wife was somehow convinced that I was the one who abused our dog. I was blaming it on my son, which may be the most confusing and infuriating feeling I've ever had. I tried calling my son for several days, hoping I could convince him to come home and help us get on the road to fixing our family. He did not pick up or ever call me back. So after about 2 weeks, I decided to show up at the house where I knew that, when I knew they would all be there. I knocked on the door, and my wife would not answer it. I admit I started shouting and pounding on it. Eventually, she came outside, where a yelling match ensued between her and I in the front yard. I finally left as she put her hands over her ears and started yelling, "Dog fucker, dog fucker, dog fucker," over and over again, trying to humiliate me in front of the neighborhood. As I walked back to my car fuming, I looked back at the house and saw my son staring at me from the second story window with a blank look on his face. That also seems bullshit-ish. It's a little too cinematic to look up and have the kid just staring at you blankly. But I stared at him in shock and shook my head in disappointment, but he didn't change his expression. I have to admit, it broke my heart and pissed me off. So fast forward to a couple of days ago. I'm at work nearing the end of my day. When suddenly the phone rings, my wife. I pick it up and she's sobbing and very, very upset. She says that Colby has bitten my son and that he's gone to the hospital to get stitches. She says Colby bit him in the lower abdomen 2 times. She doesn't know what to think. Obviously, I know what happened, and I could tell that she finally knew that I was right. Colby would never bite anyone unprovoked, and he's an extremely friendly dog and has no history of being aggressive at all. When I got off the phone, I felt this rage building inside me. I felt like it was finally time for this shit to come to an end. Colby had stood up for himself against my son, who had betrayed both of us. I couldn't prove it, but I knew my son was abusing the dog again. And I felt responsible for having left him alone with Colby all these times. It was like Colby finally lashed out in desperation, having no one left to protect him. I felt sick to my stomach for having abandoned my dog with my kid, who obviously doesn't give a fuck about me or any of us, as long as he can keep getting away with shit. I left work and went straight home to my family. This time my wife answered the door immediately and let me in. I went straight to my son's room where he was laying down watching TV. He looked at me in surprise, and I told him not to talk. I said, basically, I know what you did, you can deny it, and you can blame me all you want, but you and I both know what happened. I'm taking the dog, and if I ever find out you go near another animal like this again, I'll report you to the police. I don't care if you're my son. This is disgusting and unfair, and I raised you better. Obviously, I said more than that, but that's the gist of it. He was extremely uncomfortable.
He stared at me blankly.
Well, he had 2 bites, in his lower abdomen. Of course he was uncomfortable.
How do you get bitten in your lower abdomen?
By fucking a dog.
I guess if you're fat, there's something a dog can bite onto. I just don't really...
I have a problem, because, the dog's mouth is facing the wrong direction if you're fucking a dog, right?
Yeah, I figure if the dog's going to, turn around and snap, he's going to get your wrist or your dick.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm having a problem. I'm having a problem with the logistics.
We need help. Yeah, we need help with the logistics.
Tony, give us the logistics of this situation.
Do you have a courtroom artist who listens to the show? Give me a diagram.
Because I know Tony listened to this. So Tony's hearing this. Tony, don't even know what's going on. I went downstairs and the back door to get the dog. I put Colby on a leash and walked him back out of the house. My wife stopped me and said she was sorry. We talked for about 5 minutes. After we both got a little weepy, she asked me to forgive her, which I told her I did. She invited me to stay at the house for the night, to which I said no. I'm not ready for that, and Colby deserved better. I was already let him down too many times. I left her crying in the house, put Colby in the car, drove back to my friend's place where I'm staying.
Oh, they're going to get Colby. The son had stitches?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to get Colby.
There's no way. Yeah.
They're going to get Colby.
They have to. I've been looking for a small apartment with a short-term lease that accepts dogs, and I've decided I'm not going to move back in with my family, at least not in the immediate future. Colby is finally with me and safe, and I need time to think about what my next move is. I know I've been asking my friend to house me now. Having a dog is pushing the bounds of his good grace, so I have to leave. A lot of you written about updates. I'm sorry I can't get back to all of you. Mostly no significant changes have been made to the situation. All you need to know is the dog is safe. However, I still do not know what I'm going to do about my wife and son. Do you think I should report him? The more I think about it, the more I think he will probably just do this again. Colby might be safe, but I am still, despite all he's done to me, worried about my son. He's a minor, so I'm legally responsible for him. What sort of thing does someone do in this situation? Comments don't look very helpful. And that's the last. Never updated again after that.
That's it?
That's it.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And I also, man, I guess I'm a heartless person. I feel like that was the weakest of the trials of fire.
Do you?
Yeah, like 100%. I feel bad for that fictional dog, though. Because, well, like, I feel like
if it's real, it's the most horrible. But if it's fake, you're right.
Right. I kind of smelt a little too much bullshit at the end to... Yeah, I mean, if it were real, yeah, I would.
Well, it's like, well, the other thing is that, I mean, first of all, that dog's not safe. Like, you don't go to the hospital with a dog bite and then they not come and get the dog.
Also, like, I wonder, like, it may seem plausibly real to me because he doesn't ever catch the kid really doing anything bad. Like, I feel like if it's bombastic fiction, he's going to walk on him full tilt fucking the dog.
I don't know. Maybe
some of those scenes he painted seem pretty cinematic.
Kid in the window is.
Maybe it did start off like a legitimate thing. He was seeking help. Maybe his kid was fucking that. But then he like caught a whiff of fame whenever it started.
Hit
to go
the
viral.
Post started blowing up. So he felt like he had to make okay. That's plausible.
Well, what would be
Nicole? What's your take on this? You're very silent. I know you have opinions on this.
Well, I think that if you're going to say that, like, the scene with the kid looking out the window as support for it being fiction, I think that it's possible that that actually happened, but, you know, he's, like, painted it with his own details of perception. Like, the kid might have been looking at him out the window, but the blank stare is not necessarily, you know, that's just how he perceived the situation.
But isn't it, don't you think it's weird to, like... add like literary flair to like, please help me. I don't know. Like, don't you think it would be like if, first of all, I'm probably not going to post that to Reddit asking for help. Like, I'm probably going to like talk to a friend or something and be like, hey, has your boy ever, I don't know, like fucked your dog or, before I ask a bunch of strangers on the internet what they think. I mean, they don't know anything about me, but I also want to entertain them. I want to give them a tale.
I think that mentioning that he had a blank stare would be relevant to what he was going through at the time because he didn't feel like his son had any compassion.
Yeah,
I feel like there's an argument both ways.
Yeah,
you know, now that I think about it, like you see on our section,
Labradors are pretty hot. Yeah. I think it's real.
But you see stories like that all the time on like subreddits like our sex that have a lot of people asking for advice or help, and they'll give a little bit of a story,
right?
Their situation, and yeah, it always seems like they add a little bit of extra flair to it. You know, it's one side of the argument, basically. You know, they kind of put their own spin on it.
Okay,
I don't know.
So it's possible. I choose to believe that that is fiction, and there is no. There's no sodomized dogs.
You can believe that one's fiction, but that has
right,
happened.
Right.
I choose to believe the Holocaust did not happen because that would be horrible.
No, I think that's the case. Like, I don't know if I believe this, but yeah, I mean, that's definitely happened. I don't know that sequence of events, but where it snowballs into a marriage in shambles.
Yeah, because I can't imagine, like, if for any reason I try to put Kenna in therapy, that Meg's not going to like.
That part blows my mind.
No, I think that I totally think that somebody would do that. Would
really?
Somebody would lie to their spouse. Oh, yeah.
Their child.
Well,
yes.
He didn't say what the lie was, is what makes me like think. Like, he didn't know what he could say that would fool his wife. So just say like,
why even
we
do
put
that?
Him in therapy. See, under secret premises.
That's why I have a problem like feeling bad for him because it's like, I don't know. Like, I kind of feel like the dad he's like the only victim in the story is Colby.
Yeah.
Because like the dad, like, come on, man, you got to tell your wife like what her son's up to. Like, you just you have to do that because that is totally something that. You don't keep that from a kid's mom, right? Like, I get like, oh, yeah, I mean.
You know, bad on this report card. I'm not going to tell you.
Right. That's a little bit different than I think that our son needs some serious help because, I mean, he's not making D's in math. He's sticking the hairbrush up the dog's ass.
Mm-hmm.
This is a problem.
He's on bestiality forums trading tips and tricks.
I mean, there are parents who will, like, cover up rape for their children.
Sure.
So, I mean, like, if they're going to cover up rape of a person, they're going to cover up rape of a dog.
Well,
I think it's totally plausible that somebody would lie to their spouse about it.
I think it's also interesting
that's fair.
He states that his son threw him under the bus and doesn't make the assumption that his wife, who they clearly had problems, that she's the one who put the blame on him. So, like, we get no details on that. Like, why does he assume that his son did that?
She could have said, like, she could have been even insinuated that in the situation. Like, if you didn't, who did? Your dad? Right. And then kid's like, okay.
Yeah, dad. I don't know.
Are you mad at me? No? Yeah, it was him.
Yeah.
I'm your beard host, Tyler.
can we have, like, a palate cleanser here? I mean, is there...
Nope. I don't think so.
Pull up our okay, all right. Beach, and then we'll find a good picture.
No, we can do a palate cleanser. Josh, your birthday is not until November.
Okay.
But
thank you for coming.
Yeah. So fuck you. I just want to tell you it's a while off. You don't get a special day for two more months. But I was able to get my hands on your birthday gift now, and I'm just afraid of either losing it or someone taking it or whatever. So I'm going to give you your birthday present now.
Oh, okay.
I was going to take that.
Happy birthday, Josh.
Oh, yay. It's an amiibo for all those listeners that can't see. It is a NES amiibo. Very rare.
Let's record an audio unboxing.
Because I got, I had a GameStop connection that helped me get one. I was lucky enough to get one at our local GameStop. I've been checking back in at least twice a week since then, trying to get more. And one very helpful employee scanned the whole area. So our region of Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, Indiana, Ohio. That's the GameStop region here to see where the closest one was. And the closest one was in Memphis, and it was being held for a military person returning from service. So, you know, I wasn't getting that one. So he was like,
I took that one.
He was like,
so I posed as a military.
The one where we learned Tyler's in ISIS.
Zach English, sir, reporting from my nest. But the guy was like, okay, I do know of this one, like, very tiny GameStop in, like, a nowhere town in Alabama. Let me check that one. They had 9 NESs in stock. Like, no other place, like, that he could find had really any NESs except this one place. So they shipped him 2, and I went and bought them today.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You bought all of them?
Both of them, yeah.
I think so, you said there was like 9.
Or they'd only ship him 2.
Oh, okay.
You could have driven to Alabama and bought all 9.
I could have. So now I have the other one here. So I now have 3 NESs. So I'm pretty good.
Could you have like walked out and then walked back in and be like, I'd like to have 2 NESs shipped, please?
It was a different guy when I picked him up. So maybe. So there you go. There's your palate cleanser.
Thank you.
So what do you do with it?
You hang it on the wall, obviously.
I'll tell you what I've done with mine. Are you ready? I took it out of the box. I was like, man, this is pretty sweet. It looks pretty cool. And then I turned my Wii U on, and it was like, hey, you got an amiibo? I was like, yeah, I do. It was like, put it on the pad.
Put it
and
in
I,
me.
And I put it on the pad. And that's it. That's it.
Well, I was going to say, on the back of the box, all it shows is a hand placing an amiibo on the Wii U gamepad and a hand placing the amiibo on the 3DS.
That's all I've done with it. That's what you do with it. Other than the, like, it's a desk totem for me. Like,
yeah, it'll go nice on my desk.
It's a desk totem.
It will be my car guardian.
Are you going to take it out of the
box? Your cardian.
Mm-hmm. Can I place it on the gamepad and the DS in the box still? Will it register? Do I have to?
You got to take it out, sadly.
Is there like a big on switch I got to switch on the amiibo?
Just Dremel the bottom out.
That's good.
I'm not sure what the NES amiibo does. But to my knowledge, they are basically physical DLC that you scan and redeem.
Yeah, that's what the amiibos are. Just sort of reusable DLC that unlocks different content for different games. Mm-hmm. So, thank you.
You're welcome. And it was the only meatball I originally really wanted. So I figured the only one you'd be interested in.
I will give it to my wife for safekeeping.
You don't trust yourself?
Doesn't give her joy by looking at it, she's going to throw it away.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It gives me joy because it gives Josh joy.
Oh, so. Okay. That's sweet.
They do a good job on those, I think. They all look good.
Mm-hmm. It does look really good.
Yeah, they all look good. And they're very like, they're very like, hey, Smash Brothers is cool, and they have those little tokens in there, and let's just make them look exactly like that. Mm-hmm. So I like that, too. Yeah.
So now, next month, I do want to pick up Zero Suit Samus when she comes out. I like Zero Suit Samus a lot.
Yeah. How many more are coming out?
Every Smash Brothers character.
That's it? I mean, because like Toad's not a Smash Brothers character, but he's an amiibo.
Oh, you're right. Well, they have like the Super Mario World series too.
Oh, okay. So they do series based just on games.
I think originally it was all Smash Brothers, and then they decided to do all the Super Mario Brothers characters.
They were like, this is profitable. Yep. Let's expand quickly.
I haven't seen anything but all the Mario characters and Smash Brothers characters. Like Metal Mario is also one you can get.
Yeah.
Toad.
How about Raccoon Mario?
I haven't seen it.
So I would want that one if they did a Raccoon Mario.
And I pre-ordered Rob, Duck Hunt, and Game & Watch.
Though it is an interesting way to do DLC, essentially, because, you know, I like all Zelda games, so I just get the Link amiibo, and now I have the DLC for all Zelda games coming out, you know, they're Zelda-related games. So.
If they honor that, right? Like, the moment they're like, oh, here's a Link thing, but, the amiibo doesn't activate that.
Maybe. I feel like they'll probably have something. You know, whether it's, like, I think the Hyrule Warriors, you get, like, a couple extra items or something, you know, maybe, like, you start off at level 10 instead of 1, something like that. So, yeah, it's kind of cheap, but, you know, it's still something. So I'm sure they will, you know, it may be... not really added content, just in-game content that you get earlier or something like that.
Yeah, no one's going to buy like DLC that lets you start at level 10, really. So may as well like just attach it to a collectible thing. Mm-hmm. And people aren't going to want to collect figures. So let's give them something. So I think the amiibo is a pretty brilliant thing.
You say nobody will buy it, but people bought horse armor. People are still buying horse armor for Oblivion.
Blake did.
What?
It's the first and only DLC he's ever bought
recently?
Was horse armor when it came out.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, yeah, of course that explains why he hasn't bought any more DLC. Because he was like, oh, this is bullshit.
I'm not going to do this. I'm done. I'm not doing Kickstarter. Nothing. Faith destroyed.
Yeah. I wonder if he bought anything ever in the Blizzard store, like for World of Warcraft.
Probably. So what's going on with you guys? You got any dog sodomy stories?
Oh, tons, but we probably don't have time.
Just the one. You guys probably don't want to hear it. My dad. Trying to blame some dog fucking. He didn't tell mom about me going to therapy. It was a whole thing.
Thinking that, I need to text my dad. He was asking when we were going to record. So,
Tyler, you tell him that dog fucking story? I like that one.
That's pretty funny. I think it's bullshit, but it's pretty funny.
It's bullshit. What's up, Internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host. I am ready to go to Dragon Con. I am in this whole thing right now where, like, getting ready to go on vacation is it's just super stressful, like, to the point where I don't know if it's worth going on vacation. Like, it's probably just going to equal out because it's like... The last 2 days has been, okay, well, a whole bunch of shit came in at work. I got to make sure that's done. And the stuff I can't get done, I have to make sure I let people at work know, hey, this isn't done. Can you do this for me, please? And then all the stuff around the house where it's like, well, I got to mow the yard. Because if I don't mow the yard, the first thing I have to do when I come back from Dragon Con is mow the damn yard. And I don't want to think about mowing the yard the whole time I'm at Dragon Con. So... I'm keeping my fingers crossed that it's going to be worth it. It's been worth it every year before. Mm-hmm. Every year before, it's been great.
It's true.
But Nikki's not going this year, so that's going to be weird. And I got a kid now who's not going to be there, so that's going to be weird. Because this will be the longest stretch of time I'll go without seeing Henry. So that's kind of a weird feeling.
It's better than bringing him. Because I did not like bringing Ken on last year.
No, I didn't. I definitely picked up on that because it's like I never knew
And I'm sure Josh Nicole loved it because they roomed with us.
It wasn't so bad.
Yeah, we actually didn't mind.
Yeah, she was still young enough then. She was pretty quiet. So.
Yeah, and we didn't have to pack her around all day. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even like the crying or anything. I mean, that I would think would bother me. It's just a matter of like, okay, well, we wouldn't be able to take him out on the floor. Someone would have to be in the room. Like one of us would have to be in the room at any given time, which means that never would we actually be out in the con together.
Yeah.
So, Nikki was super not comfortable with, being away from him for 5 days. So, she decided not to go. I feel guilty for going. Super guilty.
But you'll be drunk for the whole time. So you, I mean,
I'll also be missing her birthday. Because we usually celebrate her birthday at Dragon Con. So, like, that's it's a double whammy. So, this Dragon Con better be pretty good.
What's her favorite amiibo?
What's the most expensive one?
Huh. That's a good question. Samus, I think. Armored Samus.
Yeah.
Is probably.
Because what I would do is take that and sell it, buy a thing she wants.
No, just do like I usually do for like when Megan and I first started dating. Just buy all the stuff like I really wanted that I want her to also like. It's fine. Here's a Game Boy and a Dungeon Master's Guide. Happy birthday.
You don't want that?
I put heart stickers on the Game Boy. That makes it feminine. Here you go.
Hey, what's the starting wealth of a third level barbarian? Use the Dungeon Master's Guide I got you.
I mean, she smiled at me. So. What's up with you guys?
I'm also really ready to go to Dragon Con.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we're all looking forward to it. But luckily for me, in the wonderful world of retail, they can totally do perfectly fine without me. So I'm not going to be missed.
Please don't get me wrong. Like they can totally do fine without me too, but it's just like, here's the thing with me. Like it's like this whole like shame thing where I like have to go to somebody and be like, look, I didn't get this done and it has to be done. So, I mean, I'm leaving. So I guess you got to do it.
I didn't even have shame about it on Friday when I was like emailing. I'm like, this isn't done, guys. So you better get done by Monday. Like, yeah. I didn't even care. I was so ready to get out.
But you have, like how you type though. You type pretty happily.
Mm-hmm. But you have like authority and stuff, right? Like you can just do that. You can be like, this has to be done, so do it, right?
Not really, no.
At your last job, yeah, you could have done that.
Yeah, my last job I could have. But no, these are people that I'm like peers.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but they knew I was going on vacation. The things that weren't done were not, they were things that I was waiting on other people for, so it wasn't really my fault.
No, I get that. I understand that.
Yeah, I didn't even care. I was just so ready to go.
But Nicole, earlier I'd said like if that didn't inspire joy within you, you'd throw it away. You want to explain why I said that? Talk about your journey into
decluttering.
Yeah,
I mean it's very popular. It's been on the New York Times bestseller list. It's the
Japanese
art of tidying up. So Josh and I have been decluttering using the KonMari method.
Getting rid of all
KonMari method.
KonMari.
See, I wish it was KonMari where you just roll Josh around and stuff stuck to him. Whatever stuck to him, you throw it. You just throw out.
No, it's some like one word made out of the author's first and last name. She kind of squashed them together to make the word for her method of decluttering.
She tidied up her name.
Yeah.
Or he.
It's a she.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? Explain to me about this method exactly.
It's basically a way of thinking where everything in your home should bring you joy. So, and then you should treat your possessions with respect. So you shouldn't like just have like a junk drawer per se where everything's just shoved in there and all scrambled up. So you kind of go through everything in her method, category by category, touching everything, picking it up, looking at it, and deciding whether or not it brings you joy. You only keep the things that bring you joy. And then once you have decluttered, you have a way of storing things that are organized and clean, and she likes things that are standing upright, not laying down in piles, and treating all your objects that you have with respect.
So how do you do it as a couple? Like, do you, like, together, do you guys go through and touch all the things you own?
We have the categories that affect both of us, we've gone through together, like video games and DVDs. Okay. But like I did my makeup by myself because Josh didn't give a shit about makeup. So
what? Josh?
This blue one gives me joy. I keep just have just this one. It's fine. Okay, so I go through my junk drawer, and I have half a roll of scotch tape. Mm-hmm. I mean, scotch tape doesn't exactly give me joy, but I know sometimes I'll need scotch tape.
Yeah, so you like take comfort in knowing that you're going to need it, and it's going to be there for you.
So it does nothing for hoarders, then, is what you're saying. Because like, I feel like a hoarder, like everything, they're like, I'm going to need this pack of 50 coat hangers.
I need this wet Walmart bag.
Yeah, I need this newspaper from 1998.
As somebody who generally has a really hard time getting rid of things, I do. I really, really have a hard time getting rid of things. This has been, for me, the most successful method. Because other methods will tell you to like go through each room of your house, you know, or something like that. In this, you get every item in your house that relates to a specific category. So like when I was doing my makeup, I went into the bathroom, into my purse, you know, every makeup thing that was in the entire house. And I got it all together and laid it all out on the table. And it just, for me, it works better. I don't know. She knows what she's talking about, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was hard for me to understand because I was like, well, why don't we just do the DVDs and video games since they're all right here together? And then I will go in the other room and get the computer games, like where the computer desk is later at some other time. But apparently that's a big no-no.
Yeah, you do it by a category at a time, and you collect all of the things in that category in one spot together and do it all at the same time.
Nicole, I'll tell you what works for me. Just be really lazy and to the point where it's like, oh, I got to move all these things. Guess I'll just throw them away. That's how I declutter. Where it's just like, well, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Goodbye. In the dumpster you go.
Or my dad just throws everything away. And then if it's hard to pick up, he gets angry and throws more stuff away. So, because I watched him rip like 30 feet of cable out of one of my walls because it wouldn't come out of the TiVo. So,
And it really, like, the way that she has you, the order that she has you do it in, she has you do, like, sentimental things the very last. So, like, by the time you get to that point, you're already, like, in the mindset of getting rid of stuff. Because sentimental, if people start with sentimental stuff, then
you won't get rid of anything.
Yeah, you won't get rid of anything. Yeah. So, it's an interesting read, and, you know.
I have a sentimental box. I do. I've got a sentimental box where I put all, it's like a little, it's a cigar box. And it's like, that's where all the things are. That if the house catches on fire, it's the box I'm going to get first.
I've got a sentimental annex.
Yeah. Yeah. You like to collect.
Yep.
You like to collect.
It's all the shit that I like to collect that Meg just fucking hates. So it's out here. It looks like my own little video game TGI Fridays. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just need some jalapeno poppers in here. Get you started with a few drinks.
Dave, you hear that?
Yep. Dog fucking train.
Yeah. Yep.
I do. I hear it. I didn't want to. Whew. I thought it was brakes at first. Not brakes.
Mm-mm.
The train's going full speed.
Not a stopping.
Nope. Which, of course, ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads on Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys. The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask. Or as it's known in Japan, Zelda no Densetsu Majora no Kamen is an action-adventure video game. Notice it doesn't say role-playing in there anywhere. Developed by Nintendo's Entertainment Analysis and Development Division for the Nintendo 64. It was released in Japan on April 27, 2000, North America in October 26, 2000, and Europe on November 17, 2000. 2000 across the board, guys.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Approximately 314,000 copies of the game were sold during its first week in Japan, and 3 million copies were sold worldwide. The game was re-released for the Nintendo GameCube as part of the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition that goes for a lot online, BT-dubs, in the Wii's Virtual Console. An enhanced remake for the Nintendo 3DS titled The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D was released in February 2015. Majora's Mask is the sixth main installment in the Legend of Zelda series, and the second using 3D graphics, the first being The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, which is the game's predecessor. Considered by critics to be darker among the Zelda games franchise, Majora's Mask is set in Termina, an alternate version of the usual series setting of Hyrule, where the Skull Kid has stolen Majora's Mask, a powerful ancient artifact. Under its influence, the Skull Kid causes the land's moon to slowly fall towards Termina, where it crashes after 3 days. The main protagonist, Link, repeatedly travels back in time to the beginning of the 3 days to find a way to stop the moon from destroying the world.
In the words of Josh Nance, I mean, this game is like communism in the fact that it looks good on paper. I love the concept of this game and everything that you're supposed to do, because in theory it sounds great and it is a huge change, and I was excited to hear about it. In practice, though, not so much.
I was excited to play this because of the concept. My biggest gripe in Zelda games has always been I don't like repeating the same thing, which I feel like you do to some degree in every Zelda game. And I knew that was kind of going to happen in this game because it deals with time and going back. And so I pushed that to the side because the story elements sounded really, really cool. I love anything with time travel, first of all. I think time travel is super interesting to think about. I love thinking about it. And also the fact that there's a Doomsday in a Legend of Zelda game, I think that's really cool too. And I like all these dark elements where Skull Kid, Shrug, whom I never heard of before this game, is the main villain. Hopefully he is until the very end. Hopefully there's no like last minute, like,
oh, there's Ganon.
There's Ganon. Okay. So like there's a whole bunch of things. You're right. There's a whole lot of things when I read about it, I'm like, man, yeah. Okay. That sounds pretty, pretty cool. But right now I'm in a trap of doing the same things over and over again.
So, are we staying away from spoilers then?
We're going to do a part two.
Yeah, because I want to finish this game. So I am right now halfway through it.
Okay.
I'm about to finish the snow dungeon.
I'm not. I am not halfway through it. I haven't even finished the first dungeon. I've started it. But what's happened is the world has ended for me, and I had to start over. And then I did not know what to do. So I just dicked around in town until the world ended again.
See, I remember having a lot of fun playing this game whenever it first came out.
Because you pre-ordered this and like got the gold cartridge and everything. Super excited about it.
And that's the thing. I got the gold cartridge and it came with the player's guide. And I had a player's guide handy and I had no qualms about using it.
Yeah.
So when I got stuck, I would just look it up. I would try to play without it, but then, you know, once I got a little bit frustrated, that's when I would look it up. And I remember looking up a lot of stuff. So yeah, it does get a little tedious, you know, trying to figure out what to do. There's a lot of just kind of exploration involved, and which you're the whole time you're racing against the clock,
right?
So that is kind of throws in a layer of frustration, you know.
Yeah, well, it gets frustrating when it's like, oh man, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, and if it's not the right thing to do, I'm going to pay severely because the time is ticking away.
So was it just too tedious? Is that what you thought, or
no? I'm still hanging in there. Okay. I also want to finish it, but it's not going. That's not going to happen before next week when we record this. This is a game that I need a lot of time to play. Like I cannot get through this game in 2 weeks. I just cannot do it. Mm-hmm. It's not possible for me to do it in an enjoyable fashion. I can do it and make myself miserable and use guides and like not feel like I've experienced the game. But I like, this is the kind of game that, man, I need to like, this is the kind of game that I need to pick up and play periodically and then set down for a couple days and then pick it up again and play it for a couple hours and then set it down for a few more days. Because it, I mean, otherwise it just drives me crazy.
It does. There are a lot of times when you just don't really know what to do because a lot of the game depends on time, what time of day, what day it is, because you've mm-hmm. got 3 days, what time of day it is, because a lot of things, this bar or the milk bar, it only opens at night.
Right.
This person only appears on the third day, stuff like that. And it's just kind of, it ends up being just
hurry up and wait.
Eventually, I guess you start to pick up on these things. You notice where these NPCs are at what time, so you've got to fast forward 2 days. And eventually you do learn songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that element. Yeah. And I wanted to ask you guys, because I've never played Ocarina of Time. Like, is that mechanic introduced in Ocarina of Time and it's carried over into Majora's Mask?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Because I really love that mechanic. Like, I love pressing the buttons to play the notes on the ocarina. Mm-hmm. That's really rewarding. And I love that you can do it at any time. I think that's really cool, too. And that pretty much, when you're in Link form, at least, it's how you cast all magic that I've run across so far.
It's Arkham Monaris bread and butter.
Oh, okay, Tyler, cover your ears.
Okay,
for a second. Yeah,
I can't hear you if the headset's on.
Of course not. Okay, so Tadpog Nation, drinking game. Every time Tyler butchers the word ocarina, take a shot. Okay, that's it.
He was listening. I saw him smirk.
Ogremaro, Oscar Mara, Oscar Meyer.
I think at one point you said Orca a long time ago.
Orca murmur.
So yeah, Nintendo has said us before. I think whenever the Skyward Sword came out, is they focus. They basically for Zelda games come up with a great mechanic, basically a good game idea,
mm-hmm.
and focus the game around that and think of story second. So yeah, I think they had this idea of you, the major mechanic in this game are the mask that you collect, and you put on a mask, you transform into whatever that mask. Well, some of them do different things, like the first one you get, the Deku scrub,
which you are cursed with,
right? Whenever you're cursed with this form, this Deku form, which can do other things, that your Link humanoid form or human form, Hylian.
They call him a fairy kid. Yeah. Can anyone is that like a thing? Is Link a fairy kid?
Well, in the first game, he is the only kid without a fairy in the fairy village, basically. Like, he's Hylian, but he was raised...
Kokori, I think.
I can't remember.
The race of Eternal Kids, basically, the Lost Boys.
They think he's one of them, although a fairy hasn't chosen him yet. So he's sort of raised, and he wears the garb of one of them. The green tunic is what they wear.
Because Tingle also wears this.
Yeah.
Is this his first appearance?
Yeah, I think so. He's
Is he not in
Ocarina of Time?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because this is a character I've always heard about, but I've never witnessed until playing this game.
He's in the later game.
He's in Oracle of Seasons. Nicola's safe. I squashed the bug. Okay.
Thank you.
I don't really know what his first appearance is. This was my first, the first time I saw him. So,
does he do anything in other games other than sell maps?
No.
Okay. I like that.
He can creep you out a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
I like him. I like him. Because it was, and maybe it's just because, like, I had so much buildup about hearing about him, and where I finally saw him, I'm like, there's the guy everyone hates. There he is. Tell me about.
Apparently, it's
you
only...
can play as him as a second player in one of them, right? For really? Like your Link, and then you can play like Tingle mode where a second player can control.
Oh, yeah, that's in Wind Waker, but yeah, apparently in North America, is the only place that Tingle is like despised. He's like everybody oh, yeah. else likes him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were watching some playthrough videos earlier. Mm-hmm. The guy said that in Japan, his name is Tinkle mm-hmm. instead of Tingle. Mm-hmm.
But was it the Game Boy Advance then with the GameCube? You could hook it up to the mm-hmm. the GameCube and play as Tingle, which it was just like placing bombs on the map. That was pretty much it.
I remember Jacob thoroughly enjoyed playing that with you, Josh, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have many fond memories of skipping classes to play to play Wind Waker with Jacob. Yeah.
See, I should have played this as a kid because Josh, you loaned me your N64 and Ocarina of Time. It's been one, you know, the few games I played in its time on the N64 and thoroughly enjoyed it. And I was pumped about the sequel and you were telling me all about it. And I was you're telling me, you know, you're Kid Link and blah, blah, blah. I was like, well, when do you grow up? You don't. You're just Kid Link the whole time. I'm not interested. I'm not going to play this game.
Really? That did it for you?
I hated playing as Kid Link. I wanted to play only as Adult Link.
So wait.
I didn't like Ocarina of Time until you grow up. Because I just hated playing as Kid Link so much.
See, I didn't know that there was a difference, honestly. Like, I didn't, because I haven't played Ocarina of Time. Like, I didn't know that you were Kid Link and then you grow up. Mm-hmm. So you're just, so, see, all right. Obviously, I'm not very knowledgeable about Zelda games because, first of all, I'm not a huge fan. Second of all, like, I haven't played any Zelda game like past the SNES era. This is my very first experience with a 3D Zelda game is Majora's Mask, playing it for this show. So what do you think about that, Josh? Good start?
I don't know what to say.
I think you'll like Ocarina of Time much better.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I feel like it's a good point. I want to talk about like what you guys think about thematically it being such a departure. And so for you to be like the first 3D one that you've played, for it to be, it's so different than all the other Zelda games.
I like that a lot. Like okay, there's things about this game that I genuinely love, that I am in love with. The character design in this game is wonderful. Like the way everybody looks, and like the mask vendor, I love the mask vendor because it's like done in this like anime style where like he'll be talking and then like without there being any kind of like transition, his body language, he's like in a different location with a different expression. And then like his face, like his expressions actually change and they move. So it's kind of like...
The smile never changes, but all the others do. Like his eyes go from... like kind of happy and squinted to like very wide and angry.
Yeah. It's like making a character on the Wii.
Yeah, because it is. Because it's like all the facial features are kind of like drawn on with marker, like on top of a 3D model. And like that's really cool. Like I think that's very, very effective. And anytime I'm engaging with another character in the game, I am thoroughly entertained. And it really doesn't matter what the NPC is. Like even if it's one of like the Bomber Kids or Tingle. Or the hag in the swamp, like all of it, all of that, or even the monkey that leads you to the swamp, like all of that is like really entertaining. So first there's that. I love that. I love the art style in general. Like the color palette is really cool because it is a departure from the other games. I love the scary moon. Like that's really cool. I even love the concept of some shops aren't open until this time. And then, you know, you have to like learn the patterns and stuff like that. Like I'm even on board for that. It just breaks down for me when this happens to me in every Zelda game, Josh. Every Zelda game, I play it and I get to a point where it's like, I don't know what to do.
And this is the worst I've seen it in a Zelda game of not knowing what to do.
I think this is the worst it gets, honestly.
Yeah.
Besides like Four Swords, but I don't really consider that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's What is the crap? What is that guy's? He's got a YouTube show. It's a word he used, like conveyance. I think it just the game's not good about telling you.
You talking about JonTron?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The game's not good about telling you what to do next.
Right. It's or kinda, teaching you.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it
supposes
is
a, that you played Ocarina of Time right. for a lot of stuff.
Right. Let's see.
I like Skull Kid. Like, and that goes in with the game's aesthetics, I think. Because like, I think he's wonderfully designed. And I like... this is the first time I played a Zelda game with cutscenes. So that's cool, too, like showing a little bit of his history. And the opening, I thought, was very entertaining, where Link's riding through the woods and gets ambushed by Skull Kid, who takes the Ocarina, which I assumed was the Ocarina of Time, just because I knew that game existed.
Yeah, this is a direct sequel from Ocarina of Time.
Sort of, though, right? Well, like, it's the timeline.
It's the same timeline where he dies. It is the same Link. Yes, that is this a theory is the that I know Nicole really wanted to talk about, right?
Well, I mean, I have not played this game, but I really want to, and I really love the concepts. Like, it's the basis for one of my favorite creepypastas, and I just love everything about
it. I forgot about that.
I did too.
Like, everything about it is just, it is so different, and it's just so much of it done intentionally to, like, unsettle you, like the sound effects or the lack of music where you feel like there should be music, or like the Happy Mask Salesman's strange jerky movements.
Yeah, like in Skull Kids, even when he does that like head jerk, that roll, like tick tick tick. Yeah.
And it's I really love everything about it in that way. And then one of the theories, is that Link is dead for this whole game.
Yeah, because
it makes sense, like. Suddenly, people that were Link's enemies are his allies in this game, like the two hags. That's Twin Ropa. They're the main villain in like Oracle of Time.
They don't even change their name in this. Yeah, but yeah, there are a lot of reoccurring characters in this, and yeah, it is. There are a lot of really good YouTube videos that actually go point by point and show all the different evidence. That says he's actually dead.
My favorite point of evidence is whenever you meet the Happy Mask Salesman for the first time, and he says, "You've met with a terrible fate, haven't you?"
Yeah,
and that's the same thing that it says whenever you die and lose the game.
Yeah, you assume that it's talking because at that point you have been cursed. Right. Your form had been turned to a Deku shrub, so you assume that he's talking about that. But yeah, looking back on it as a whole. It seems more like, he's talking about
got a cap on it.
Link dying. Because, I can't remember. I think it was in Ocarina of Time. They mentioned the forest that Link is running through at the beginning of Majora's Mask. They mentioned going into it without a fairy, you're doomed to get lost and turn into Astolfos, which is the skeleton in the Zelda games, which turns back into, like, once Nintendo released the timeline, for all the Zelda games, this is the same timeline as, Twilight Princess, where you the Link character in that game meets a Astolfos that is also left-handed, talks about being an old hero, and trains Link to use sword techniques. Mm-hmm. So it's the big theory is that that Link that you play in Majora's Mask really got lost in the forest, died, turned into Astolfos, and eventually trained the Twilight Princess Link.
Because isn't an Ocarina of Time like you make it through the forest without a fairy, and like somebody mentions like how that's never happened before.
Now you get Navi. That's that's why you're not allowed to.
They don't let you leave until you get one. And you haven't chosen one. Okay.
So, the Zelda timeline is like all this happening in like parallel worlds or something. Or?
Sort of. Yeah. Like
there are three different timelines.
Like the Ocarina of Time, the Majora's Mask, the Twilight Princess is all one. Then you've got like the Toon Link ones, like the Wind Waker. Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks. That's all in one. I think there are like three different ones now.
And then like Skyward Sword is the first one because there's like the prime timeline that then splits off three different ways, basically from Link killing Ganon and going on, Link dying and something else. Like Link's Awakening fits in there somewhere. I think like as he's dying, it's his dream that he's dying or something like that.
It does get a little confusing. It's not quite as confusing as like the X-Men.
Nothing's as confusing.
I'm the son of a clone of your alternate dimensions XY. Yeah,
yeah. Nothing's more confusing than X-Men bloodlines and yeah. So, Nicole, you saying that you want to play this game because of what you've seen of it makes me think I also want to play through this game, but I think I'd almost enjoy watching it more than playing it.
Yeah, I agree. I would enjoy sitting on a couch with Nicole watching her play this game.
It's all agreed then. Dragon Con, we'll just lock ourselves in the room.
I have so many panels I want to go to, so sorry.
You can do a Majora's Mask panel. It'll be fine.
Where's just you sitting at a table. Just put people in front of you. Yeah.
But I mean, because playing this game has been frustrating to me at times because I don't know what to do. I want to give you an example. You find an empty shop. You know that you had to go to the swamp. You know that you have to go to the swamp and that there's something you got to set free in the swamp. That's what I know. So I go to the swamp. And when I go to the swamp, I find out that the hag is missing from the shop. And she's gone to the forest. So I go, okay, fine. I'll go to the forest. And I'll find the hag. I get to the forest. And there's a monkey. The monkey's like, follow me. Okay, I'm going to follow you, monkey. I follow the monkey. He leads me through a maze. And there's a point where I see a hag flying around on a broom. And I'm like, found her. Got her. I found her. Monkey goes on. And I'm like, I'm going to talk to this hag. Couldn't do it. Couldn't talk to her. Just couldn't. I'd select her. There'd be no option to talk to her. None. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is like an illusion or something. She is a witch. So I guess maybe this is like an illusion. Mm-hmm. So I restart the maze and then the monkey leads me through again. And this time I keep following him. And then there's an identical looking hag on the ground who's injured. I'm like, all right, that one was an illusion. I found the real hag. I talked to her and she's like, I'm injured. Give me the thing that heals you. Nothing has healed me in this game so far. Nothing. The only thing I've done is play the ocarina to turn myself into Link. I'm no longer the Deku Scrub.
It is called the Song of Healing, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that's the only thing I know to do. Well, that didn't do anything. So I'm like, okay, shit. I mean, there's that potion shop. There's probably a potion in the shop. So I go all the way to the shop. I climb the ladder. I go in there. There's nothing in there. There's nothing. So I'm like, okay. Well, there has to be something in here. So I spend 10 minutes looking around the shop, like just hitting A next to everything, like hoping to find a hidden potion. Fuck, I don't find anything. So like, all right, I clearly missed something in the forest. So I go back to the monkey. He leads me through. And I'm like, well, there's that witch flying around in the broom. Maybe I'll try talking to her again. I select her. Nothing. No option to talk to her, anything. I was like, okay, I guess this is an illusion. And I go back to the hag again. It tells me the same thing. At this point, I had spent probably 2 hours. I probably spent 2 hours trying to do this to the point where I do the thing I hate to do. Like, this ruins things for me where it's like, I'm not going to be able to get past this point in the game unless I look this up. Like, it's just not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I look it up. I have to talk to the witch who's flying around on the broom, which I tried to do twice. So I'm like, oh, fine. I'm going to go to her. I go to her. I select her. There's no option to talk. And then I realize she has to be facing you. So it's like at any time, like I'd selected her. She just wasn't facing me. So I couldn't talk to her. I had to wait until she like swings around and sees me. I closed because I'm playing this on the DS. I closed the DS. I just set it down on my bedside. I just pulled the covers over my head and went to sleep.
See, I didn't even do that because I nearly rage quit at this exact same thing. I didn't worry about I didn't hold out I want to do this first before I do the guide. And I was immediately fuck it. I'm gonna use the guide as soon as I go there. and I find the witch. Like, I go there as soon as I can on the first day,
yeah.
And the witch is still in her shop. And I talk to her, and I don't know what she's talking about. So I look up, and in the guide, it says, the witch, when she's in the shop, she'll tell you she's worried about her missing sister. And this is the prompt to get you to go on the next part. I talk to her. She doesn't say anything like that.
She's like, good morning.
Yeah. I wish I could. I used to be able to look for mushrooms. I don't know where they are. So I guess I need to find a mushroom. So I go around. I'm looking for mushrooms. I don't find anything. I go in this maze. I follow the monkey around a few times. I'm looking for mushrooms. I don't find anything. I go back to the shop. So now she's gone. And like, I get the cutscene of her flying away. And it's like, well, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So then I play this Song of Time. I go back again and I talk to her again. Like, and I was like, maybe this guy's wrong. I look for a different guy.
Yeah.
Tells me, talk to her first, get the prompt saying she's missing her sister. I do this several times. I spend hours again trying to do this exact. I look at like 4 or 5 different guides. They all say the same thing. They're all wrong.
Yeah, because like when I went to the shop, I guess it wasn't on day one, because when I went to the shop, she's not there. And there's a note that says she's gone looking for her sister,
mm-hmm.
who was lost in the forest.
So what I did is I didn't bother going to talk to her first. I just went right into the maze and kept going until I found her twin saying, I need a potion. So then I went back, still on the first day when she was still there. She gives me the potion. I take it back to her. I continue with the game.
Yeah.
At this point, then I also set it down. I didn't play it for the rest of the day because I was just like, I spent so much fucking time on this is a stupid thing.
I know.
Apparently everyone was just, even the guys were just wrong because I didn't know what the fuck to do. And it was infuriating.
And that's what I mean by like, I think I'd enjoy watching somebody play this. Like someone who knows what they're doing, like mm-hmm. watch them play it so that I can just be like, oh yeah, that's cool. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. As opposed to me for 2 hours being like, fuck it. I'm going to look it up.
This was a total slog until I got to the first dungeon. And then once I hit that dungeon, then it was like, okay, now this feels like a Zelda game. And I had a great time going through the first dungeon, fighting stuff finally, not doing chores and errands and keeping up with schedules and waiting for times to roll around and all that shit. I got to fucking play the adventure part of a Zelda game. Great time. Loved it. And then it's been another, I mean, not as bad of a slog, but getting to the second dungeon where it's just like, you have to go. You can't continue on until you like talk to this one baby. And then once you talk to the baby, then you can go on and like learn another song. Because like you thought, like play the song of healing. All right. She wants the thing to heal you.
Right.
But there's another person in the game who will ask you for something like that. And that's what you're supposed to do. So it's going to fuck you up so many different ways.
Well, I think I'm going to, I do want to continue this game. I think I'm going to use your philosophy, Josh. Like I do think that like, if I get to the point where it's kind of like I feel that frustration, mm-hmm. I'm just going to look it up. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to look it up and not like look forward. I'm just going to look that one thing up and be like, okay.
There is something to be said about the reward of, you know, finding something out on your own. But I don't think this Zelda game specifically is that game to do that.
Yeah. I don't think holding out and figuring out is to anything except in a dungeon. That's fine in a dungeon because you're going to figure it out.
Right.
Doing stuff in the overworld, trying to connect the dots. Yeah, fuck it. Use a guide. Fuck it. So, and there's so much minutia. This game has a ton of little minutia with all the heart pieces and all the traditional stuff, but it's in a much smaller setting. Mm-hmm. So everything just feels kind of overwhelming and constant.
Yeah,
as opposed to like paced out till you find it bit by bit by bit.
And there are a lot of variables. Like all the different masks you get, everybody treats you differently depending on what mask you're wearing, you know. So it is kind of, a lot of it is trial and error, you know, talk to this guy with this mask on, talk to this guy, you know, with this. And so, yeah, I agree with Tyler. Yeah. Maybe not use a guide in the dungeon,
mm-hmm.
you know, but yeah, as far as on the overworld, like in Clock Town and stuff like that, mm-hmm. then yeah, definitely.
Well, this could be like a cool game, I feel like, when it came out, honestly, even like pre-internet, obviously this didn't come out pre-internet, but I feel like this could be like a fun one to talk about with friends who also play it.
Yeah, play it as a group.
Yeah, or like one of those where it's like, hey, did you get the thing for the hag? Like, what's going on there? Like, one of those. Because I always like that better than looking things up in a guide. Because mm-hmm. then now all of a sudden you've got a dialogue going. Mm-hmm. And it's like that feeling of being on the playground and being like, whoa, wait a minute. So in Super Mario Brothers, in 2-1, you can jump above the level? Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to try this as soon as I get home. Mm-hmm. That kind of deal. I miss that feeling. I like that doesn't exist anymore for me because everything's just kind of like, I guess I just Google it.
I mean, we can all make a pact, I guess. We could all start playing the same games and only
like, rely on each other.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler and I have kind of been doing that. Has been working.
We can't call or text each other. We have to see each other in person.
Gotcha. Yeah. We have to meet at an elementary school.
It's
going
to be hard. Not that hard. I used to have sex at an elementary school, so.
Please tell.
No elaboration.
Nope, you just have to imagine. Yeah. No, whenever like I was in high school and my girlfriend and I like didn't have anywhere to go, walked to the elementary school where they had picnic tables in the woods. Have sex on the picnic tables at the elementary school back in the woods.
Yeah, it was a weird elementary school. The picnic tables yeah. back in the woods. Mm-hmm.
At 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah. You're back in a shaded area. No one's coming back there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had anal sex against a tree back there. So there you go.
You should be really thankful that you're not on a list.
Yeah, that could have gone. That could have.
I was a minor back then. It's fine. I would have at elementary school. It's fine. As long as alumni get to do that.
You get caught. No. I went here.
My picture's in the basketball trophy case. Go look at it. We won in fourth grade. I could do this. Trust me.
Wait. Did she go here too?
No, he got me there. I lied to the principal and said that guy put his finger in my butt. You remember me? It's fine.
So how many masks, transforming masks, did you get, Tyler?
Let's see. I've got the story one so far.
The Deku.
The Deku, yeah. The Goron. Yeah. I got the bomb mask. I've got the fairy mask. I got the Garo Taro mask. Mm-hmm. Like it looks like a frog on your head. Mm-hmm. I can't use it yet, but I got it.
So what do you think about that whole mechanic, the, you know, transform into a Deku scrub,
enjoyed the movie The Mask, that mm-hmm. I'm very much on board with this game. Because I like the, you put on one of the, like, transforming into the primary things, and you scream as it rips your body apart and reforms it.
Yeah, it is a pretty intense transformation.
Is it just for the Deku scrub that it does that? Because I've got
The Goron does it, too.
Okay, so is it the story
I think
masks?
It's if your body, yeah, I guess it's, like, the ones that completely transform your body. Okay. Yeah, you mm-hmm. scream.
Because I got one that makes animals follow you, and it doesn't do that when I put that on. When I put that on, it's just like...
Oh, the bird mask, yeah.
So it's really weird. I can either put on the happy mask or the sad mask.
The fairy queen mask or whatever I think is super creepy because you see her. Remember, she's unsettling enough just all on triangles.
Remember, I have masturbated to that.
You masturbated to that? Masturbated to that?
It was the Ocarina of Time fairy.
I have not seen Dave that surprised at anything in a long
time. Dude, that thing popped out of there and I was like, what the fuck? I don't want this thing to heal
my
me.
Dick!
Oh yeah, yeah, it's freaky as hell now. Yeah, it's very unsettling, but yeah.
And now he fucks you.
I don't know how to take that.
Can you make your boobs more triangular? Thank you. Write this ivy around you.
I didn't trust that fairy, honestly. I thought it was like a fake fairy or something. Yeah.
The laugh is creepy. Yeah. But like you get her mask and it's just her face, you put it on, long hair flowing behind you, and you're just Kid Link with this weird fucked up mask on. And fairies are attracted to you. So because I like in each dungeon, you have to reassemble one of the fairies of power. And it's an ordeal because there are like 15 fairies hidden in every dungeon. But you put it together and you get like a big reward. Like they're different between the N64 and 3DS though. I think in the N64 you learn like new sword maneuvers, and in the 3DS version, like I'm playing on the 3DS and it's double my magic bar for assembling the first one.
Interesting. Do you know why they changed it?
No idea. Huh. And they changed more than I thought they would, because I've looked at the side-by-side, and I know, like, they changed the first boss a whole lot, because there was, like, a huge amount of outcry for the first boss being way too difficult in Majora's Mask. Like, something more akin to a final boss in difficulty.
Oh, wow.
Like, it's just, it was just crazy, and everything after that is easy. So they changed the difficulty on him. Different fairies are in different places. Different NPCs are in different places. Times are a little bit different. Like, they changed probably, like, more than they needed to, but...
I feel a little bad for playing the 3DS version, because we're obviously supposed to be talking about the N64 list, but I kind of wanted to hedge my bets towards a more enjoyable experience, and I know my track record with the N64 hasn't been that great, so I figured if I played it on the 3DS, I'd have a better chance of enjoying it, but
I like the Ocarina controls on the 3DS a lot.
Yeah. So far, I do regret the $40 I've spent. So far, I have.
That's fair. That's fair. I got it for Christmas, and I just waited for us to come up on this game. So, but I'll let you borrow it, Nicole.
I think we have it. Do we have it?
Mm-hmm.
3DS.
We have it.
We have it.
Okay. Well, good. We all own this. On the 3DS.
I was
going to
say, we have it for 3DS, and we have it for 64 too. Mm-hmm. So
you guys could play it simultaneously.
You've got the
point out the differences.
Yeah, point out the differences.
The gold cartridge with the little hologram.
Yeah.
I'd watch you guys play it. You guys should stream it. I'll watch you play it. Then can you do it this week?
Can you do it before we leave tomorrow?
Yeah, can you do that, please? So I'll just watch it at work. It's fine. If you're listening to this and you haven't seen the game, if you're not familiar with it, I know that Paul Kluel of What's Paul Playing Today, he did stream it, and that's on YouTube. So check that out, and maybe you'll see all the things that we're talking about. All the creepy things.
Yeah, because I guess we'll delve more into like the story and progressing through on part two when we played more of it, because we're getting close to time. So
yeah, I'm ready to go home too.
if it helps, Tyler, it's optional, but you can for a brief time become adult Link at the very end.
Man, and after playing this game, there's no fucking way I'm doing that. There's no fucking way.
Oh, is that the deity Link?
Yeah, fierce deity.
Because Ramon was mentioning that in the future when we have Ramon's interview, spoilers, he mentions deity Link. I don't know what that – what is that thing?
He
becomes a god?
Yeah, if you do all the extras, you get the fierce deity mask, and it basically takes the challenge out of the final fight. You – put the fierce deity mask, become a god, and fight the final boss in your uber form. So,
I did a very cool video, one of those like where a blacksmith replicates famous RPG and fiction weapons, and that was one of his requests was make fierce deity Link's
twin Helix sword. Yeah.
That was. I'll put that in the show notes. It was a very cool video because I think he was a little frustrated by that challenge trying to make that sword.
It is a very impractical sword.
Yeah.
You should also put the creepypasta link.
I will. Oh, man. Yeah. You wanted to, can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah,
I do need to go home, but that is too cool to not talk about.
It's one of my favorite.
It was the first creepypasta I ever saw, and working in the library of the seminary when I was in D.C., stumbling across that, I was like, fuck, this is actually kind of creepy reading this. I've never read anything on the internet and been like creeped out before.
It is creepy. Who here knows it the best? It's not me. But Nicole? Probably you?
Probably.
Tell us about it.
Well, the story goes that this guy bought a cartridge of Majora's Mask from an old man at a yard sale. And then he comes home and puts the cartridge in.
Like what? It doesn't have like the sticker on the cover. It's just like Majora's Mask is written on it.
I think so. And then there's a save file that's named Ben.
Ben, yeah.
And, you know, he plays and all these weird things happen. And I think that it's better. I think that rather than talking about it, I think it's better for everybody to go and find it. And
yeah.
Because the video.
Instead of me reading a dog fucking video, do you want to read that for our intro on the next episode?
I can read it. I think that out of creepypasta, there's stories, and then there's stories with pictures, and this one, the video that goes with it, just makes it it is. It's really good, really good.
It's good, it's good.
But I can read it.
I would. I think that'd be pretty good. Okay. I think that'd be pretty good.
That's one that I also remember too, and it's memorable. Because, like, as soon as you said Ben, I was like, yeah, Ben. Man, I remember pretty much everything about, not the details of the story, but, like, even, like, you bringing it up, it's like, yeah, that's kind of a weird one.
At my high school, a guy named Ben transferred from New York or something like that, from the north to my Kentucky, West Kentucky high school. And he has to get up in front of the class and introduce himself. And he gets up, he's like, hi, my name is Ben. Everybody starts laughing. Everybody starts laughing hysterically. He has no idea what's wrong. And like the teacher's kind of snickering a little bit. And somebody's like, what's your name? Ben. More laughter because he pronounces the E instead of saying Ben, like B-I-N. And everybody just thinks he's ridiculous and stupid for saying it like that.
Yeah, dialects suck when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. You think by high school you might not. No, totally. So, any last comments on Majora's Mask Part 1? Dog fucking? Anything?
Man,
I want to come out and say that I am against dog fucking.
So brave.
I just want to go home and hug our dog. Like after you're listening to that,
pervert.
No. No, I was telling Josh, I took him to the groomer, and I was like, I dropped him off at the groomer, and usually Josh takes him. This is the first time I've taken him, and like I dropped him off, and I drove away, and I was like sad leaving him there.
And she tells me this, and I'm like, oh, I'm sure he was fine. I was sad.
He was fine. He loves people, but.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud. So don't miss the next episode on Monday while we're living it up at Dragon Con. You can listen to us interview Ramon. It's pretty good. It's a pretty solid episode.
Yeah.
We were happy with it. And next Wednesday, you can hear Majora's Mask Part 2.
Unless we don't do it.
Unless, like, I talk about finishing the game and we just do something else.
I'll bring a game or something we can play.
Had to be something from the N64. We'll talk about Superman 64 for
something,
the rest.
Something.
Something terrible. We still love, and need 5-star written iTunes reviews. Help us out a lot. Helps the show get bigger. It's the biggest marketplace. People hate iTunes. People increasingly hate Apple Music, all the things that Apple's doing. People just more and more ire toward Apple. But it's the biggest marketplace, so we need it. So please, leave us a 5-star written review. And if there's a game you want us to play, if there's a special guest you want on a certain episode, include that in there. And whatever you write in there, we promise, we will get to it eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are going to be talking with Ramon. We're going to summon him through the internet to have an interview. In the meantime, you can always find us at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Hey, how do you feel about Majora's Mask? I bet that you liked it a lot because everyone I've talked to has been like, yeah, Majora's Mask is awesome. So let us
play it again. Play it today. Tell me again.
Let us know on Facebook how you feel about it. And honestly, I'm kind of curious how you feel about guides. What do you do? Do you use them? Do you not use guides? Do you use them like Josh does when you feel that point where it's like, if I don't look this up right now, I'm going to be frustrated with the game. What do you do? Let me know. You can find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cucumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who's retweeting us, especially our episode announcements, because that helps get the word out. Thank you very much. You can text or call if you want at 270-883-2555. If you leave a voicemail, try to keep it under 3 minutes. We will play pretty much anything, so just call us. Lastly, we do have a Patreon. If you want to chip in a few bucks, that would be awesome. Completely optional. The show is always going to be free. But we do have some wonderful donors that help us pay for the show and producing it and all that good stuff. So thank you for everybody who's already donated. If you want to be one of those cool people, go to patreon.com/tadpog, and that's where you can do it.
Nicole, our theme song.
Moves.
Josh, who's that by?
It's been so long.
I know.
Sycamore Drive. Okay.
Both of you together, we're going to link to that track be found.
The show notes on tadpog.com.
That was almost like that SNL character where they're trying to guess what the other one is trying to say. Yeah.
We finish each other's
lunches.
So how do you guys think we should close out this episode?
Like the Great Fairy.
Okay. All right.
Like Josh jerking it to the Great Fairy.
Who's laughing at me?
Show me those titties.
I'm not going to have you laugh at this dick much longer. So until next time. Oh my God.
All right, we killed the gargoyle.
Ramon, why are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you.
Are you lying?
I'm not mad. What is going on?
What is going on right now? I'm not mad at you at all.
Oh, yeah. You were just slamming on my character earlier. That was Miller.
That was Miller this whole time.
Picking on the halfling.
That's true. But it's really my fault, though.
Fuck you, Miller.
It was me, Zach.